from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning to you. I'm John Sepulvedo from the North State.
And I'm Lily Jamali on a bridge overlooking the San Ysidro Port of Entry in San Diego. Officials with the Mexican government say they're deporting at least 98 migrants who became violent with federal police guarding the border during a protest in Tijuana on Sunday. In a statement, they said they are communicating and coordinating with the U.S. government in response to the migrant caravan. The official said more than 7,000 people from the caravan are now in the border cities of Tijuana and Mexicali. And as KQED's Frida Javila Romero reports, those Central Americans have joined an already long line of migrants waiting to ask the U.S. for asylum.
For the past 6 weeks, Steve Sama has been coming every morning to El Chaparral border crossing in Tijuana, waiting anxiously for his number, 1,119, to be called from a list kept by volunteers.
It's a little bit disturbing because spending all this money from Africa to be here, I have nothing left with me.
Sama's 36 and used to work as a crane operator in his native Cameroon. But he says his government arrested and tortured him, and he wants asylum.
I'm not going to America because I'm looking for a job or because I'm looking for a better life. I'm going to America because my life is in danger.
Among the crowd, many say they've also waited a month and a half for a chance to see a U.S. Customs and Border Protection official.
Maxim Chikalov, Russia.
Volunteers yell out 40 names this morning. The list has more than 4,000 names and is expected to grow because more people are coming. A group of women and children hold hands and prays for their names to be called. CBP officials say they're processing undocumented migrants as fast as they can, but how many they can see depends on things like translation needs and detention space. For the California Report, I'm Farida Javala Romero in Tijuana.
The mayor of Tijuana has declared a humanitarian crisis in his city and has asked the United Nations for help coping with the ongoing influx of migrants. The mayor of nearby San Diego, Kevin Faulkner, has said it's critical that U.S. and Mexican federal leaders work together to safely resolve the migrant crisis. Billions of dollars in trade and thousands of jobs are at stake. Mr. Faulkner joins me now by phone from Washington, D.C. Mayor Faulkner, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I want to start by asking you, does your presence in our nation's capital have anything to do with what we have seen over the last week here at the San Ysidro Port of Entry?
You know, I am here on a previously scheduled trip, but we are talking about cross-border trade, that importance, particularly between San Diego and Tijuana. Our relationship with Mexico is an incredibly important one. It's a competitive advantage for us, and it's a story of success that it's important for me to not only tell that in Washington, D.C., but in Mexico City, and why that relationship between San Diego and Tijuana is so incredibly powerful and incredibly positive.
The world's busiest border closed for an entire day on one of the busiest shopping holidays of the year, Mr. Mayor. I can't imagine that as San Diego's biggest supporter of binational trade, that was something you were happy about.
No, look, everyone wants a clean, secure, and efficient border, efficient for that cross-border trade, travel. Look, our economies are linked. In San Diego, we often talk about not just two cities, but one region. When you talk about our supply chains that are in the billions, when you also talk about in the San Diego region alone, we have 100,000 jobs that are dependent upon trade with Mexico and getting across that border safely and securely. So that is incredibly important to us in San Diego and to our economy.
And so how hard have these intermittent closures here hit your city?
Well, I will tell you, nobody wants to see any closures. And so from my standpoint, it's really important to reiterate not only to our particularly our federal officials, how important it is to keep these cross-travel, border, trade, promotion going.
And does that mean then that you have talked to President Trump and or members of his administration about these concerns?
You know, I had the opportunity last week to meet with Secretary Nielsen in San Diego. And in fact, that was one of the issues that that we spoke about, the absolute essential need to keep that border open. The Secretary certainly understood that and realized how important that is from an economic standpoint.
Now, you've had a great relationship with the mayor of Tijuana. He is now asking the UN to come to his city. Do you support that?
Now, I spoke with the mayor of Tijuana over the weekend on Sunday. Look, he has a very strong message out to the federal government of Mexico City, asking for additional help and support and resources. I support him in that. I think it's incredibly important that those resources are available so those folks that are waiting to be processed for asylum are treated humanely, that they have safe conditions, and that is something that he and I share.
Mayor Faulkner, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
That was Kevin Faulkner, mayor of San Diego.
And speaking of Tijuana, yesterday I accidentally said the wrong number of people who went into the hospital there after that confrontation between authorities and migrants trying to cross. That number is 3. My apologies, and my apologies to KPBS, our partner in that story. We're going to go now to here in Paradise, where yesterday I heard something in the city limits I had not heard since the campfire started more than 2 weeks ago, and that's people hanging out talking.
No, I'll stay in the back.
Now, in any other place, this gathering of state and federal officials would be so ordinary, we wouldn't point out the pre-press conference chatter. But in a city where there's been nothing but bird chirps, chainsaws, and the sounds of recovery workers pulling burned metal roofs off the ground, that banter was a notable change for Paradise. People were gathered for a visit from Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue and Department of Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. Both men advocated for the loosening of, quote, red tape on forest land, which is their way of saying they want to make it easier to log that forest. After they spoke, I caught up with California Secretary of Natural Resources, John Laird.
Secretary, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I observed some interesting body language from you while Secretary Zinke was speaking. You were very polite. Your body language seemed to suggest that you were displeased when Secretary Zinke was speaking about what he thinks should happen.
Well, I would say two things. First, we're just determined to work together. There's 30,000 people displaced, and we have to put aside differences and just look forward and work together.
Absolutely.
But secondly, he said interesting things that are the same things we're saying. Fire season is longer. The humidity level was down. There hadn't been rain. The fires are burning hotter and deeper. And so maybe we're each characterizing differently what that is, but we're saying the same things.
One last thing. What is the message for the people who live in Paradise in this area?
As a former mayor, I can't even imagine losing your entire city. It's hard to get my arms around. But we will rebuild, and it's step by step, and we're as a state going to be part of that, and that's the signal we have to send everybody. And I can understand when you lose everything you own, and there's 18,000 households of people in that circumstance, I can see where you wouldn't have the hope right away.
Secretary Laird, thanks so much.
Yes, thank you.
That was California Secretary of Natural Resources John Laird speaking in Paradise.
We're going to head to space now. I love when we do this. The Mars InSight has touched down on the surface of the red planet, and it's already beamed back a photo since its arrival yesterday. When NASA's InSight mission to Mars took off from the Central Coast's Vandenberg Air Force Base 6 months ago, two little satellites piggybacked along for the ride. They're called CubeSats. They're about the size of briefcases, and they just made history. Cal Poly students got to assist in the mission. KCBX's Tyler Pratt explains.
Touchdown confirmed.
Aerospace engineer Kate Parkinson and other students watched as InSight landed on Mars just before noon on Monday. She's part of PolySat, a student-run research lab on the Cal Poly campus,
which is one of the bigger CubeSat university programs in the nation.
In 1999, CubeSats were developed at San Luis Obispo's Cal Poly to test out new, smaller space technologies. They're little blocky satellites that aren't too expensive to build and send up. Think a few million dollars instead of hundreds of millions. Most are used for small space data experiments. More than 800 have been launched. NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory built the CubeSats for this Mars mission, but Cal Poly students worked on the device that deployed them into space during the InSight launch. And for the past 6 months, these students have been analyzing mission data as the CubeSats also travel to Mars.
I worked on correlations between the satellite clocks and Earth time because there was a different delays, and like it was an awesome experience to be able to say, like, I worked and helped with data from satellites going to Mars.
a pretty big deal for a 20-year-old's resume and for science. CubeSats have never been outside Earth's orbit. They survived and successfully observed InSight's landing, relaying information back to Earth in real time. With their mission complete, the CubeSats will soar past Mars, deeper into space, relaying any data they gather back to Earth for as long as they can. For the California Report, I'm Tyler Pratt in San Luis Obispo.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. The Wesley Foundation, recognizing young social entrepreneurs through the Wesley Prize for Young Innovators of California. And Collective Health. American employers are in the healthcare business. It's time they have the technology to drive it. CollectiveHealth.com.
Well, back here in the North State, there's an old Sears store that has been vacant for quite some time. Although, vacant's probably the wrong word, because now it is occupied by the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And it's at a place where people used to take portraits of their families, get glasses, or people are filling out paperwork, hopefully paperwork that will help them reconstruct their lives. Here's KQED's Polly Stryker.
The inside of the defunct Sears is filled with tables, and at them, the post office, the DMV, the IRS, the Red Cross. They're all here, FEMA too. Spokesman Frank Mansell sits where an old pay station used to be.
It's amazing to look at people coming in here, and it suddenly hits them that what they have lost and what it takes to reestablish.
More than 17,000 people have registered for disaster relief through FEMA in Butte County, and over 13,000 homes burned. People apply for rental assistance and hotel vouchers if they can find places to stay. In the long run, it's likely their homes in Paradise, Magalia, and Concow will take ages to rebuild. So are FEMA trailers on their way? One FEMA spokesman said 125 trailers were coming to California. Then he said he wasn't sure. Frank Mansell reconfirmed there are 80 trailers sitting at McClellan Air Force Base near Sacramento, but
the process is not as simple as going and picking them up and bringing them up here. We have to find places for them. We've had offers from a couple of existing mobile home parks who've said we've got space.
One of those mobile home parks is in Paradise. The other's in Lake County. But FEMA says they have to be assessed for utility access. And the one in Paradise will also have to be deemed clear of contaminants from the fire zone. For the California Report, I'm Polly Stryker in Chico.
The chair of the California Democratic Party, Eric Bauman, is taking a leave of absence amid allegations of sexual misconduct. From KQED's Politics and Government desk, Guy Marzorati has more.
Just days ago, California Democrats were cheering Bauman for guiding the party to its best election in decades, winning a historic number of seats in statewide, congressional, and legislative offices. But late last week, another party official brought forward allegations that Bauman sexually harassed and assaulted staff members. An outside investigator is looking into the anonymous allegations, and Bauman is stepping away until that review is complete. A spokesman says Bauman believes, quote, this is the best way to ensure the independence and integrity of the process. But some want more decisive action, including Congressman Ro Khanna, who's calling for Bauman's permanent removal. And the fallout from the charges has reignited a feud between moderates like Bauman and more progressive Democrats who opposed his election as party chair last year. For the California Report, I'm Guy Marzorati.
And that's the California Report for this Tuesday, November 27th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Lily Jamali at San Ysidro.
And I'm John Sepulveda from the North State. I hope you have a great day.